May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. If I may recap, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who hires some workers. Hires them through an agency, maybe. Or more likely, he drives into the village square where all the laborers wait to be hired. And he hires a group of them for the typical daily wage and sets them to work. Probably 7 a.m. Always good to get an early start in the vineyard. Around 9, he goes back to the village and he hires a couple more. During the lunch break, he heads out again, hires some more workers, agreeing to pay them fairly. At 3 p.m., he does it again. Finally, at 5, he goes back once more and finds still others in the village square, and he hires them, too. 6 p.m., the whistle blows, the day is done. Workers come to the foreman to be paid. As instructed, the foreman pays the latecomers first, and those who work the whole day last. Those who work for an hour were paid a full day's wage. So were the 3 o'clockers, and the nooners, and the niners, each group being more miffed than the last. Finally, the group that worked the whole day are rewarded for their labors, the same wage as those who only worked an hour. And they are not happy. They worked harder, they worked longer, and they received no more benefit. And the landowner says, in essence, suck it up, it's my money, I can do with it as I please. And they are left speechless. That happens a lot when Jesus tells a story. My paternal grandfather, let me paint a picture. When I was 10, I watched my grandpa Bruce splint and bind his own compound fracture after he had fallen from a ladder. He eventually lost that leg, but not because of his work. The hospital, actually. Months later, an infection took that limb. So in my life, I know what self-reliance looks like. And I know how the state fails when they try to take care of people. Grandpa Bruce worked all of his life for Inco. He was in management. He would not have cared at all who was vying to lead the NDP. He would not have voted for Justin Trudeau. And frankly, Andrew Scheer would have been just a little too soft and left of center for him. He hated this story with a passion. It was simply wrong. And at 16, I dared to agree with him. I said, "You're right, Grandpa. It's not fair to the workers. You know, they should get together and form a union. That way they could manage the means of production and distribution of profits in a fair and equitable manner." That left my grandfather speechless. That happens a lot when Jesus tells a story. But that's not what Jesus is trying to do. He's not trying to leave us speechless. He's not trying to teach a business management course. He's trying to challenge us. He's trying to tell us about the kingdom of God. And he does challenge, doesn't he? He challenges me. He challenges me because, you know what? I am a guy who comes to work early and stays late. I set up the coffee before the meeting. I put away the chairs after. I reach for the check first. I volunteer. I support a number of important charities. I work for justice, and I do my best to love actively and recklessly. I'm a good dad. Last week, I officiated at my niece's wedding, helped to manage the two families that don't always get along, and also managed my 96-year-old father-in-law, who's never been to a wedding in a pub and isn't sure you can actually do one there. And I played in the trio that provided the live music for the reception afterwards. In short, I'm a good guy. And I don't want special treatment. Deep down inside, there's a little part of me, a tiny part of me, so small I shouldn't mention it, but a part of me that thinks, I deserve a better deal than that guy who does nothing. You know? It's interesting to me that most of us think of ourselves in the story as the worker who showed up at the beginning of the day. All of us. We're pretty sure, right? I mean, we never think of ourselves as the guy that shows up at 5 o'clock and works for an hour. You know, like, we don't even think about that worker, other than the note that he or she didn't work as hard as we did. We're pretty sure we showed up at the beginning of the day. But that landowner, he paid that 1 hour worker first, forcing all of us to consider that worker as we watch her get paid the same wage as we get paid. A worker who wanted to work but wasn't picked. Remember that, right? This isn't the grasshopper who lazes around while all the ants go to work. This is a worker who waited all day in hope. A worker who has a family to feed. A family just as hungry as the family of the guy who was picked to work at the beginning of the day. A woman who would have set up the coffee and put away the chairs, but you know what? She's a little shy to volunteer because last time she did it, they told her she did it all wrong and she was made to feel guilty because the coffee didn't taste good. The one who would reach for the check first, except that he needs to know how much it is first in case he doesn't have quite enough money. Who would gladly support 20 kids through World Vision, but just spent her last $20 buying colored pencils for her daughter in grade 3. Who would gladly take care of his father-in-law if he were still alive. A worker that never once calls me smug or self-important or full of myself, but could. The parable challenges me. Challenges me to think about others who have the same hopes and dreams, the same needs, the same desires as me, but live very, very different lives. It also challenges me to remember when I haven't been picked first. Last week, somebody posted a picture on Facebook of a bunch of my friends outside in a basketball court. And there they are, they're like 15 years old, and I'm looking, and I recognize the picture right away because I organized those games. Saturday morning at St. Gabe's, we loved to go there and play basketball. We did it every 10 o'clock. There we were playing basketball. I wasn't good at it. I just liked it. And as I looked at the picture, I'm wondering, well, where the heck am I? Like, see everybody here. Where am I? I was at all the games. And then it dawned on me. I was probably outside of the picture waiting to be picked for one of the teams. Because I was nearly always picked last. I do not move well to my right, I have a lousy jump shot, and I every now and again have to look at the ball when I'm dribbling. It stinks to be picked last. I love basketball, but it was not one of my gifts. Hated being picked last. Loved to play. The kingdom of God is like a basketball game where everybody is picked first, and everybody is in the picture. You get it? See, that's what Jesus is doing with this parable. He's not teaching business management, and not only challenging me, challenging us, but he's helping us to imagine the kingdom of God, what life is like when we do God's will, the whole picture. The kingdom of God, God's will, is that everybody gets what they need for the day. But it isn't just about God's generosity. It also falls on us, right? The one-hour worker is paid a day's wage. The whole-day worker worked 12 times the hours, so he feels he deserves 12 times the reward. That's a fair expectation. Now, we could insist that the late workers get paid 1/12 of the whole-day worker's living wage, but then that would mean that he doesn't have enough to feed his family. Okay, so then he can have enough to feed his family, he can have a day's wage, but then the full worker gets 12 days worth of wages. That's fair. Except that the vineyard owner can't afford to run a vineyard like that. Well, yeah, but you know, it's God. God could afford it. But it's not God. It's the kingdom of God. And that includes us, you and me. You know, the landowner went back to hire workers several times. Why was that? Because his heart softened and he began to care about the ones that he didn't care about earlier? Because he was really bad at managing and couldn't figure out how many workers he really needed? Or because each time he hired some workers on, he was hoping that the other landowners would also follow suit, that others would take up the cause of fair wage and justice for everyone, especially in the time of harvest? This is the time when the community has everything they need, and yet some are wanting. I think he goes back again and again, hoping that his fellow vineyard owners are going to see it, and they're going to become part of it too, and they'll create the kingdom of God, not just the generosity of the one, but the kingdom, the sharing by a community. The kingdom of God is a community, not a bunch of people believing that God's going to take care of justice while we sit back and get rich. And the kingdom of God cannot run on a false economy any more than the real world can. So if everyone's going to get a living wage, some of us are going to have to live with being treated unfairly. I have three kids. I love all three of them, mostly equally. All three went to not just college and university, they went to both. All three went to college, all three went to university. Many, many, many years of tuition. For one, I helped pay for 6 years. Another, I paid outright for three. Another one, I bribed with 2 years full coverage and then several years of living rent-free at home. At no point did I consider equalization payments to make it fair for all three of my kids, right? At no time did I consider a limit to the help I would offer them, other than when I ran out of money. When my eldest brings his partner to Thanksgiving dinner next weekend, and the youngest will also bring his partner, I am not going to give my single dateless son extra food because the one with the partners are eating more. Right? That would be crazy. No, Michael, you have two plates, please. Although that would be fair, wouldn't it? See, as a parent, I want my children to have what they need. 1 year's tuition, 6 years' tuition, 3 years' assistance, I don't know. Enough turkey so that you're really full. It's not fair. It's love. Fair is a place where pigs get ribbons, a friend of mine used to say. In my family, it's not about fair, it's about love. It's about having enough to meet your needs and maybe indulge in a couple of your wants. It's about having dignity. It's not about proving yourself. It's about knowing that you're loved before you've done a single thing. So too the kingdom of God. It's not fair. It's loving. It isn't about judgment. It's about having enough. It isn't about winning or outdoing. It's about trying. It's about being out there, ready to work, ready to love, even when you're not picked right away. And that may be frustrating if you're a fantastic go-getter, you know, one who's worked hard, top of his or her game, you got it all figured out. Those people lagging behind, man, why are they getting? But it's great news for those of us who often don't get picked first, who apply for a job only to be told, we've decided to go in another direction. We'll keep your resume on file again and again. It's great news for those of us who struggle to make ends meet and wonder why we're not as good as the people who seem to have it all. It's great news for those of us who wonder, what's wrong with me? Why aren't I lovable? Why don't I get picked? It's great news for those of us who wonder if there's any hope to do anything meaningful in my life. After all, I'm not young anymore. It's great news for all of us who wonder if we've missed our chance. The kingdom of God is a place where we're not judged on how much we have done or can do, where or when we are picked. The kingdom of God is not a place where the world determines our value, or even where we determine our value. God does. God's value is love. God loves us. And the kingdom of God is a place where there is room and need for our love, for whatever it is we have to offer, whatever it is you have to offer. No matter whether the person sitting beside you has much more to offer or less, there's room for what you have to offer. There is work and reward for all of us, not just the early birds, not just the fortunate, simply the willing. That's the promise. And God keeps promises. It's also the mission, the ministry, and the challenge. Because you may remember that the kingdom of God, Jesus tells us from time to time, the kingdom of God is in our hands. So when you're deciding what to do next, when you're deciding what direction to take, when you're working for change, shaping the world, help to shape a world where there's enough for everyone, where opportunities continue, where none of us have a best before date, where love is offered not just to the fortunate or even the deserving, but to all. And in that, we will not be good managers, but we will be participants in the kingdom of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, let us not be afraid. Let us not be afraid of missing out. Let us not be afraid of not having enough. Let us not be so afraid that we judge ourselves always against others and insist that it be fair to us. Instead, God, give us the courage, the confidence, and the strength to be satisfied when our needs are met, to be thrilled at the opportunity to help another, to be part of your community where there is enough for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.